This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. SpaceX. Bob Zimmerman is here to update us on SpaceX in all of its splendor. We begin with Elon Musk, the one-man marketing machine, who is making predictions about what he can do in 2023, quite apart from getting to Mars and building a colony. Bob, 100 launches. Is this credible to you? Good evening to you.
Oh, absolutely, John. It's very credible. Yeah, we got a whole bunch of stories about SpaceX. The first half of the segment will be SpaceX. Musk tweeted that their goal next year is to complete 100 launches. Well, they've completed 39 launches so far this year, and that's just a little over half the year done, and the pace they're setting is good. This indicates what Musk has decided is that Starship is not going to be ready to start launching Starlink satellites as quickly as he hoped. And so he's now looked at the pace of launches of the Falcon 9 and realized he could make up the difference with Falcon 9. This year, they've launched about 1,200 satellites on the Falcon 9 alone because of the number of launches. They've done 25 launches, about 50 launches per 50 satellites per launch. If they do 100 launches and let's say 80 of them are Falcon 9 Starlink launches, that's 4,000 satellites they put up in orbit. That's a significant percentage of the full constellation that has to launch. So he's going to, until he gets Starship going, he's going to push Falcon 9 to the ultimate. To get some perspective, 100 launches in a single year would be more launches than the entire world accomplished each year from 1991 after the fall of the Soviet Union through 2017 before commercial rocketry began to really dominate the industry. So this is an amazing achievement if they do it next year.
Starlink is a subset of SpaceX, and it is launching a constellation of satellites. However, there was an incident some days before, of an outage. And have they determined, Bob, was it a hacking? Was it something they can explain?
I don't know. The SpaceX hasn't said there was an outage. Supposedly, they experienced a major outage a few days ago that was worldwide in multiple places. U.S., New Zealand, Netherlands, Mexico were reported problems. Though I have other people have commented on Behind the Black that, no, they didn't see any problems in the slightest. So this was sporadic and intermittent across the network, but it was widespread. SpaceX, as usual, has not commented on what the issue was and what they've done to fix it. I am speculating that it was a software issue, and it could even have been a hack, but we don't know that. And that many users did not experience the problem at all suggests that it's something they fixed relatively quick. It's very difficult to interfere with the Starlink, because the Starlink system, because of the redundancy. Every person has their own terminal. There are thousands of satellites in orbit. You can't just put, you know, how do you put a few satellites out and block the system? So anyway, that happened. I will say that Starlink, though, has more news. Not only are they going to launch a lot next year, Starlink satellites, but SpaceX has now signed a deal with Royal Caribbean. They had tested this on cruise ships over the last year, but now Royal Caribbean has made it official. They have a contract now with SpaceX to provide their passengers on their cruise ships internet capabilities using the Starlink satellite constellation, and they expect it to be operational and available to customers in the first quarter of next year. So Starlink just keeps rolling along, John.
Bob, I note that I checked yesterday and I checked today my Starlink. Not only was there no evidence of interruption, but I've been tracking 140 Mbps, which is daunting. So what we're looking at here is a system that's working at the high end of internet connectivity.
I should quickly note the FCC denied SpaceX its subsidy because they said it couldn't make 100 megabytes per second, and you're finding 140 megabytes per second routinely. Isn't that interesting?
Right. In a casual countryside Connecticut farmland. You understand.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
We go to NASA. Rewarding SpaceX. What do they want NASA to do? What is NASA?
Well, since Starliner is still not yet operational, and NASA needs to get its astronauts up and down to ISS and to make sure they can always have an astronaut on ISS, they've now given SpaceX a new $1.4 billion contract for 5 more launches of astronauts with its Dragon capsules to ISS. This is in addition to a February contract where they awarded SpaceX 3 more passenger flights. So that's 8 passenger flights that SpaceX is has gotten, some of which would have gone to Boeing if they didn't screw up with the building of this Starlink capsule and have it delayed for years and years and years. So SpaceX is just being rewarded for providing service when needed to its customers. Meanwhile, listen, because we got a lot here, John, let me go right to the Super Heavy Starship story. SpaceX this week completed another static fire test of its Super Heavy prototype number 7 that's sitting on the launch pad. This is the first stage of this heavy lift rocket that would put Starship in orbit, which is kind of like a space shuttle concept that SpaceX is building. This was not the first static fire test, but it was the first static fire test on the launch pad, which involved more than one Raptor engine. They were going to try to do 3. It's not clear whether all 3 functioned as planned. These are tests. It's very clear SpaceX is ramping up its test program to get ready for an orbital launch, which Musk says he wants to happen before the end of the year, and they're going to be pushing to try to get it done sooner rather than later. I have embedded on Behind the Black video of that static fire test. It's kind of fun to look at because you're watching big rocket engines on a big rocket firing, and it's not even a tenth of the number of engines on the bottom of the Super Heavy. So when that launches, it's going to be quite amazing.
Yeah, I watched the clip, Bob, and 29 of these things are going to go off at once? Not at once.
33.
Not in once, right? They're going to fire in sequence, not once.
Yeah, they will be staggered, but we're talking about the kind of staggering that went on with the space shuttle. The space shuttle engine staggered, and so will SLS's engines as well, stagger when they turn on. But we're talking about milliseconds. Nothing more. The eye might not be able to see the difference, but they won't start them all exactly the same time because that's a shockwave. They will stagger them slightly, but there's going to be a lot of them firing when the thing takes off the ground. And they say that because of the amount of power, it will lift off fast. It won't lumber upward. They say it's going to really rocket off that pad. This is going to be something to see when it happens.
What is Axiom?
Axiom is a private commercial company that's already flown astronauts, commercial passengers, to ISS. They did this back in the spring, early spring. They've now signed another deal with NASA. They've got to, of course, rent their time on ISS from NASA. NASA had increased the cost for doing this by 700% a few years ago, and so it's a lot of money. But Axiom has signed a deal with NASA to allow for another commercial passenger flight to ISS, scheduled for sometime in the spring of 23. They will bring up another 4 people, one of whom will be a former NASA astronaut that is hired by Axiom, and 3 passengers. And this deal involves rental of space on ISS, rental of facilities, also involves an arrangement for research done by the astronauts, the passengers of Axiom for NASA. In other words, NASA wants to hire them to do work while they're there, and that makes sense. And so there will be science done by the astronauts while they go. I really shouldn't call them astronauts. They're really paying passengers. But they're going to, it's going to be taking a tourist flight where you get to do science for NASA at the same time. But Axiom signed the deal, so another flight is going on, John.
And OrbitFab, Bob, this is new name to me. Do I know? Have you talked about it before?
Yes, I have. This OrbitFab is one of the more than half dozen companies that are building in-orbit servicing robots, either tugs to move things around, vehicles to repair satellites that are in orbit, robots to refuel satellites in orbit, robots to remove space junk. Well, OrbitFab, one of its focuses is refueling, sending up satellites to refuel, and they've got like a standard fuel port that they're trying to get satellite companies to use so that they can send their refueling satellite up to refuel them. Well, they're now going to do something a little bit interesting. They're going to build what they call an orbital fuel depot. You know what this is? It's a gas station. They're going to orbit a gas station for geosynchronous satellites in which shuttle robots can come, fill up with fuel, go to a satellite, and then fill the satellite up. And the way OrbitFab is doing this, they can either use an OrbitFab shuttle to provide the fueling, or other fueling orbital fueling companies can use their shuttles to orbit satellites. So this is now breaking down the orbital servicing industry now into multiple parts. You've got a gas station company, you've got the tankers to bring the fuel there, and you've got tankers to bring them back and forth. This is getting really exciting, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring when we come back to the surface of Mars and revelations about what Perseverance is finding and creating. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.